Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric. From high atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Pickaxe killer David French gets life in prison. A woman awakes from surgery speaking in a foreign accent, and a man finds dead frogs in his convertible.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves! For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, May 6th, 2011. A transgender man who smashed his roommate's skull with a pickaxe will serve life in prison. David Wayne French killed Frank Johnson in May of 2007. On Thursday, he was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole after 25 years. Firefighters broke into the Portland apartment and found Johnson, 51, dead in 2007. Police said French jumped out of a third-story bedroom window and fled. French is legally a man, but considered himself a woman. During the trial, the prosecution argued in dramatic fashion while demonstrating with an axe that the defendant swung the weapon into Johnson's head six times.
Let me ask you this.
French has claimed that she simply held the pickaxe up to defend herself and that Johnson accidentally fell on it.
I know it's wrong to laugh at pickaxe.
Yes,
Beth,
I know.
But...
and he just kept falling on it over and over and over again.
That's awesome. Excellent. That's a little thing we like to call chutzpah.
Yes.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm, and what a fantabulous afternoon it is shaping up to be. It is Friday, May 6th, 2011. Thank you for coming by. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Later on this hour, you got your entertainment news, also science on the march. If you want to get this program via your mobile device, you can do that. It's mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. It's also available via iTunes later on in the day or as a direct MP3 download here, that is to say, yeah, or at Legion of News. .com. Also, the Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. Here is Don Taylor.
A 56-year-old woman from Newport went to the dentist for surgery and awakened from sedation, speaking in a somewhat British accent. The 56-year-old woman appeared yesterday on NBC's Today Show, answering questions in what was described as an odd mixture of Irish, Scottish, and Northern British, with perhaps a dash of Australian and South African for good measure.
Maybe she was just speaking like Madonna.
Some speculate she may have foreign accent syndrome, a rare but real speech disorder. It's most often caused by a stroke, but it can also be caused by a blow to the head, brain hemorrhage, or multiple sclerosis. Her speech is still understandable, but the rhythm has changed. People who have this may have trouble pronouncing consonant clusters or elongate their vowels. To the speaker and everyone else, it sounds like an accent change. Researchers have documented accents that sound Japanese, Korean, Spanish, and Hungarian. A Norwegian neurologist documented the most well-known case of foreign accent syndrome. A 28-year-old woman in Oslo was hit by a bomb fragment during World War II and woke up speaking in a German-like accent. So, was reading another piece about this, and apparently it sounds normal to her inside her head. It does not sound like she's speaking with an accent. But if someone plays her a recording of herself speaking, she can hear that she now has what sounds like an accent.
That's odd. But it's not actually an accent in the sense that she's not consciously mimicking In other words, your brain isn't saying, let's speak as though we're from Hergenflan.
No, it's some kind of a brain injury that causes you to
elongate
the vowels, do something different with the consonants, basically using your mouth differently and to make the sounds differently.
And it just happens to sound like something from another, a melange of accents from other places.
Yes.
Excellent.
An Atlanta, Georgia man is frightened since finding three dead frogs in his car on Monday. The man, who requested anonymity, said he noticed them after stepping out of a Northeast Atlanta coffee house. His friend, whose name is Caleb Spivak.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the thing. The guy with the frogs, he's anonymous, but we know he hangs out with Caleb Spivak, so I don't think it would be that hard to find him.
Because Caleb Spivak is really, that's just like Smith.
Yeah, how many Caleb Spivaks are there in Atlanta?
I imagine we'll find out by the end of the day, probably.
So they were meeting for a work session at Inman Perk Coffee Shop. Spivak said his friend went to his car and returned in shock, explaining that dead frogs had been left in his convertible. Spivak said, my initial reaction was, okay, there's going to be some frogs in there. I get to the car, and there are the biggest bullfrogs I've ever seen in my life, motionless, stacked on top of each other.
Are we sure that it wasn't just some sort of a traveling frog circus, and they were just taking some time out to rest?
Well, no, he also said they were bloody and looked like they'd been beaten in the face.
Oh, well, you might mention that up top, Mr. Spivak. It seems like that's a more crucial detail.
He says he doesn't think his friend was targeted. The victim himself says he thinks it was a prank. Spivak said he was told by an Inman Perk employee that a group of teenagers were huddled around the car earlier. And then he said, and I think reasonably so, who goes around carrying large, freshly beaten bullfrogs around town?
Well, what are you going to do after frog baseball, Don? Those dogs, they don't dispose of themselves.
Yeah. So apparently the decision was to just leave them stacked on top of each other in a guy's car.
Well, because then you get a day's worth of extra entertainment.
The latest job figures have been disappointing, Rick Emerson, even though the new Fortune 500 list shows big business profits are jumping again. Not jumping as in jumping out of windows, I hope, but actually jumping as in huzzah! It's good. Fortune magazine assistant managing editor Lee Gallagher says they've found that having a lower-sized workforce works for them.
Have they now?
Yeah.
They found that actually helps to save them a little bit of money if they're employing, let's say, I don't know, 10 people as opposed to the 100 that they employed 2 years ago. It's a cash flow savings. This is Fortune 1?
Yes.
Yeah. No company ever said, oh, let's see how lean we can get. They were pushed to limits they didn't know they had, and they kind of like them because, you know, their profit margins are soaring.
And who hasn't been there, really?
I'm sorry, I was just so distracted by the weird, squawky, pelican-like tones of her voice. Was she hit in the head by something?
Pushed to limits you'd never been pushed to before, and then you discover you like it.
She undergoes some sort of a dental surgery, and she came out sounding like a trout?
Like a parrot, yes. Walmart is once again at the top of the Fortune 500 list. The next three companies on the list are all in the oil business. Gallagher also says they're making a huge amount of money after the end of the recession.
Last year, if you remember, was when the profits really started churning out, and we had the second biggest profit gain on the list. This year, it's the third biggest.
Ugh. All right. Just like a pickaxe inside my own head. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, later on today, you can get this program via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Here is Tom Taylor.
Some of the first information gleaned from Osama bin Laden's compound indicates al-Qaeda considered attacking U.S. trains on the upcoming anniversary of the September 11th attacks. But counterterrorism officials say they believe the planning never got beyond the initial phase and have no recent intelligence pointing to an active plot. They believe that the feds are, however, looking into our train kerfuffle we had here in Portland the other day, where the train smashed into something and ended up in a fiery blaze. Fire officials were contacted within minutes of the train explosion by government officials asking if there was a terrorist connection to the derailment. How would the firemen know?
Is this one of those things where, like, bin Laden and his guys were sitting around the house and they were just sitting there just stoned, just watching TV late, and I go, you know, it'd be awesome. Here's, no, right? Somebody ought to write this down. It's a just great idea. And then they came in, the next, you know, the SWAT team comes in, they go, I don't know, it's like a half-written thing. It says train, and the other side just says cheeseburgers or something.
Actually, they said that one idea that they had was to tamper with an unspecified U.S. rail track so a train would fall off the track at a valley or a bridge. The Al-Qaeda planners noted if they attacked a train by tilting it, The plan would only succeed once because the tilting would be spotted next time.
Also, I think anything that frat guys do to cows to amuse themselves on weekends doesn't really count as a terrorist mastermind
plot. How would we attack the train? We could just push it over.
I think tilting anything doesn't really carry the weight of terror that you're probably aiming for.
And then we will slant things at a slightly different angle, imperialist dogs.
We will make them dizzy.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Grant Coffey, hazmat coordinator for the Portland Fire Bureau, said he was called by a high-ranking state official within minutes of the explosion, asking if they thought there was a terror connection. Shortly thereafter, he was contacted by the TSA, asking the same thing. He said, what we worry about with these and the TSA and some of the agencies that came in, the first questions were, was this caused by somebody?
Okay. I think everything was caused by somebody.
I think everything is caused by somebody.
Yes.
So that happened.
Okay.
Yeah. After returning home to find his wife in handcuffs, a Vancouver man wrestled a gun away from a burglar and shot at him as he fled the scene.
Excellent. Well done, sir.
Vancouver police were called to a home invasion on the 2300 block of East 27th Street around 5 p.m. Spokeswoman Kim Kapp said a burglar had broken into the home and handcuffed the woman inside before her husband came home. A neighbor said, woman on the street says, it's crazy because I was inside by myself. Yes, ma'am. It's all about you.
Yeah, immediately, like in 0.02 seconds, the story becomes less about the woman who the thing actually happened to and more about what could have happened to somebody else.
The suspect had found a gun inside the home by the time the husband had gotten there. During a scuffle between the two men, the husband took away the gun and fired a shot. The suspect was not hit. The woman ran to a nearby grocery store with her handcuffs still on to get help. She was not injured, but
But let's hear more about the neighbor to whom nothing happened at all.
Well, another neighbor named Bruce Milligan says, that's horrible. It shouldn't happen.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess relatively speaking, his statement is the more logical and rational of the two, but still.
I love those things, though. They always have those things on the news where something happens in a neighborhood to someone, and no matter how specific it is.
My kids go to that school.
Yeah, somebody's crazy ex-husband comes to try and, cut the woman's leg off because he had once lost his leg in an accident, and he's been holding a grudge for years, and he just got out of prison. And you ask the neighbor, she's like, I can't believe that would happen in this neighborhood. I mean, someone could come to my house and cut my leg off.
The average American man and woman on the street. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It is Friday. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program for the low cost of just 32 cents a day, which seems implausible, if not flat out impossible. It seems to defy all logic. It seems to defy any and all sort of common sense that kind of quality programming might be available for such a low price. But I guarantee you it is so. You can find out more at rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
And I would encourage you to do so because I'm scraping together money to fix my car, and frankly, I need you people.
Oh, I see. So suddenly now it's not about the neighbor woman anymore. It's about Don Taylor.
It's all about me. It's always about me. Okay. Haven't you figured this out yet?
Today we'll be joined by Mr. Big Jim Willig. He'll be in the studio for another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. Then we'll be talking about the life, legacy, work, and career of the Marx Brothers. So that is coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here's Don Taylor.
Dallas Fire and Rescue reported an escalator malfunctioned at a DART train station and injured over a dozen Thompson Middle School students who were on a field trip in Dallas. 100 students were at the station on Thursday when the escalator accident happened. The students were on a down escalator heading to the bottom floor of the station to catch a train. Some students said the escalator just gave way, as if there was no tension to keep the steps moving at a normal pace. One student said, the escalator started going down really fast, and we all just fell on top of each other, and my teacher pressed the stop button, and we all fell on top of each other.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to visualize exactly what's going on with the escalator. They're going down or they're going up?
They're going down the escalator.
They're going down.
And it just started going, and it just started going really fast. It just lost its, traction or whatever.
I have doubts about the fact that the escalator went, it's not the Frito Bandito.
Okay, the students went, i.e.
Okay. But it didn't, it wasn't like one of those things like in the James Bond film where the stairs just suddenly go flat and they slide.
No, it just picked up speed and started going really fast. Like,
It accelerated.
Yes, it accelerated.
You would think that it wouldn't have that capability. You would think that that would be something that wouldn't, that it was not even mechanically able to do, that they would actually design it so that it could not accelerate at all, period.
I know. That's terrifying. And the next time I go on an escalator, that will be going through my mind.
Oh, man. I don't think it was on this version of the show. Might have been a couple years ago. Maybe there was the kid that got where it actually did the thing of pulling his sneakers and then his feet into the little grate at the end of the escalator.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, it caught a shoelace, and then it caught a shoelace in just the right way that it kind of went, and it got a real good grip on it, and then it just pulled the tips of his shoes in, and then it just started to pull his feet in, which is one of those things that, I hate to say that it's awesome, but it is,
because I
suppose it's less awesome for him, but it is one of those things that you live in fear of your entire life, and you know it's an irrational fear, and so you feel kind of dumb, but then, paradoxically, I mean, for that same reason, you actually then feel a little vindicated when it finally happens to somebody. It is as though if you were a child and you read that somebody somewhere, some kid had actually gone down the drain. And then you realize, aha, Mom, and you said I was a fool to have such a fear. So
yeah,
I'm just saying.
You made me listen to Mr. Rogers sing that song about it, and it's a lie.
Exactly.
The students, by the way, were part of a choir that was set to sing at a church. So apparently God hates them.
That's not necessarily the opinion of Legion of News.
No, I mean, you know, if we thank God for doing all the good things for us, when they make the escalator fail, when our church group is like, our choir group is like going down the escalator, it's got to be him too, right?
Save the message to the end of the show.
Or maybe that was the devil.
All right. Here's your more sound.
A respected deputy head was sacked, as in fired, after she helped carry a boy of 6 into school when he refused to leave the playground. This took place in Wrexham, North Wales. Debbie Ellis, who had an unblemished 20-year career as an educator, was accused of physical and emotional abuse after she and a teaching assistant lifted the boy up by his armpits, even though his mother didn't complain about this. Mrs. Ellis has taken action because a sex offender had recently been spotted at the school gates. The solicitor for Debbie Ellis, who's in charge of the primary school, described her dismissal as a grave injustice. Mrs. Ellis is a policeman's wife. She's been in charge of the primary school. She was in charge of the school for the day in June because the headmaster was away. When the boy refused to come inside after playtime, after they had heard about the sex offender being around, staff phoned his mother. She wasn't able to come to the school right away. So Mrs. Ellis and the teaching assistant went outside, picked the bratty little child up under his armpits and carried him indoors. She told the head on his return, and the school governors launched an investigation, which lasted nearly a year.
Excellent.
And now she's been fired for abuse, for picking up the bratty child and making him go into the school.
And this is in Britain?
Yes.
Well, I know that here in America, we can sometimes be accused of being overprotective of our children and of disproportionate reactions to things. But from what I have read, and I don't know this firsthand, but from what I have read and what I have seen in Britain, I mean, we don't have anything on Britain in terms of the sometimes rash responses and incredibly draconian investigations and punishments they have for people that do anything that even remotely approaches something that might be considered inappropriate behavior, with children and school children. So this doesn't seem too far beyond the pale. By the way, somebody would like to note that not 2 minutes after talking about the neighbor woman who was talking about, you know, the real danger is what could have happened to me, Gladys, I could have been handcuffed. That immediately you were uttering a sound that is what you would have made on the elevator or on the escalator. If the escalator had malfunctioned, that you in fact would have gone. I.e.
Yes. So. Yes, that's true.
All right. All right. It's all about Dawn, apparently.
Well, yes. Protesters Friday packed the streets of Abbottabad, Pakistan, a city where Osama bin Laden was shot and killed. It was organized by Pakistan's largest Islamist party, and demonstrators denounced both the American and Pakistani governments.
You know, the Islamist parties never have any good snacks. That's the thing. I mean, it really is just, and they break up at like 9 p.m.
A lot of hummus and dried bread
people standing around and
there's
just
never any booze.
Just bumping their LinkedIn information to each other. So this is what?
Bin Laden 1.
Let's see, Bin Laden 1. Hold on a second. See, strangely enough, he's from Akron. So
the worst hip hop record ever.
The dental procedure gone very, very wrong.
Veterans of the wars prompted by the 9/11 attacks are praising the armed forces for their role in the killing of Osama bin Laden. But Paul Rykoff of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America says there is still heavy fighting going on in Afghanistan.
Here's a little thing. Back on the first summit, I was going to go the Klingon route, and then I thought that was too obvious of a joke. But I'm sorry, bin Laden 2?
Yes.
We're preparing for a Taliban spring offensive. Iraq had the deadliest month in almost 2 years, so folks are still in harm's way. We need to make sure the American public keeps their eyes on what's happening overseas, and they don't think that some big plug was pulled and everybody's going to come rolling home. We're going to need support for the next couple years.
Rykoff says there are some in the community who wish the photos of bin Laden's body would have been released.
We did it with Uday and Qusay Hussein. We had visual confirmation with Saddam Hussein. So I think there was some expectation and there was a precedent set with that. But at the end of the day, you know, the president makes the call. We got to trust that he's got the best interest of the country in mind here.
All right, then. Here's the thing about the city. You wonder if this is going to be one of those things where in like 50 or 60 years, they'll have a thriving tourism industry in like a theme park based upon the whole, like Osama was shot here kind of a thing. Like they have for the Ford Theater where Abraham Lincoln was shot. Because you can take a whole John Wilkes Booth tour of the place now. And I mean, as somebody once said, you give something long enough. I mean, you give something long enough, everything eventually becomes a breakfast cereal, no matter how horrible it might be. So it does seem like somebody ought to be setting up like maybe a merch booth there right now. Just get a little bit of that early dollar.
I thought you were going to say, we can look forward to like bin Laden O's or something.
Well, if you think about the fact that there is in fact Count Chocula, which is because of Vlad Dracul, who impaled people on stakes in Romania. So, I mean, you know, I think it was Clyde Lewis who actually said, you give Hitler 100 years and he'll be a breakfast cereal.
Oh, an update on the train derailment, by the way. It's being blamed on an overheated bearing.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what they're saying it is. The wheel bearing caused the car to derail. And then, boom, everything burst into place.
Okay.
And then you couldn't get home if you lived in Scappoose.
What was the sound it made?
Kaboom!
Okay.
I'm filled with sound effects.
Uh-huh.
It's uncanny. I'm like Michael, what's his name, from the Police Academy movies. It's like you're there.
Uh-huh.
I've had a lot of iced tea today.
All right.
A report prepared for...
Michael Winslow.
That's his last
name. The name you were looking for.
Yeah. A report prepared for Walmart suggests that up to 17 more stores could be built in the Portland area, according to a report in the Oregonian. The study done by a Vancouver, Washington firm creates a scenario where the number of Walmarts roughly equals the number of Fred Meyer outlets in the region. The Walmarts, if built, would be a variety of sizes, from their supercenter format to smaller neighborhood stores. The chain averages one outlet for every 85,000 people nationally, and in the Portland area, that figure is closer to 450,000. Walmart has traditionally faced resistance in Portland based on a political ethic of local sustainability and the same critics viewing as inadequate pay and benefits offered by Walmart. The paper said the impetus for Walmart's interest may have been a study put out for bid by the Portland Development Commission on a study of grocery stores opening in underserved neighborhoods.
I may have asked you this before, but what is the difference between a Walmart and a Walmart superstore? I mean, Walmarts in general are large.
Are the superstores the ones that have grocery stores in them? Because that's what Target superstores used to be when they had those.
Well, I mean, Walmart has food in general. I mean, you know, like you go into a regular Walmart and there's food.
Yeah.
Unless that means that I've somehow only ever been to Walmart Supercenter. Like, what's the one on 82nd, I think, is just a regular Walmart. But I could be wrong about that. I think the only Walmart Supercenter that I think I've ever been in is the one in Kennewick. And I think I went there to get something for my mom one time because it was near the house. But I don't think I've ever actually looked around to see what the difference is. So I don't know if it's just a matter of size or if one is like selling something that the other doesn't have.
I don't know. I've only ever been in Walmart twice in my life. So I don't know.
It is, by the way, a uniquely Portland thing. Maybe not uniquely Portland. It is distinctly Portland anyway. That in the midst of... I know they claim the recession is over and whatnot, but in the midst of this period where, like, nobody has any money, nobody can get a job, that we actually then would take time out to protest the opening of more businesses. You know, I mean, you know, God love Portland, but that really is a strange and self-defeating part of the Portland ethos, the idea that, no, don't bring your businesses here with your hiring people. We don't want them. I mean, seriously, I mean, talking about being hoisted by your own petard.
There is the argument said that
there's
we do
no
have
argument.
A lifestyle here. We have a...
That's not true.
We have a sort of a...
It's not true.
an atmosphere. We have a zeitgeist, if you will, here in Portland.
Okay, well, it is true that we have an atmosphere and that we have a zeitgeist. But it is demonstrably not true, it is empirically not true, that we have a zeitgeist that is opposed to Walmart, because if that was the case, they wouldn't ever come here because nobody would shop there.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of how business works. If nobody goes there, the business goes away. So the fact that the Walmarts are still here and coming, guess what that means? It means that whatever you want to tell yourself about Portland, people in Portland like Walmart. That's just the evidence indicates, the evidence I think proves that it is so.
The people who actually shop at Walmart like Walmart. We also have a very large and very vociferous population of liberals who, you know, have no problem complaining about stuff.
I think the idea that liberals don't shop at Walmart, you know, liberals are cheapskates too. So, you know, liberals, look, here's the thing.
Well, the liberals are the ones, though, that complain about the Walmart.
Yeah, but liberals, you know, liberals buy iPhones, and they're made by Salvadoran schoolchildren.
I'm not saying it makes sense.
No, I'm saying the idea that, you know, the idea that somehow liberals are going to complain about a Walmart and not shop there, those are two mutually exclusive things. I think...
No, in Portland, they complain about the Walmart being built, and then they, like, loudly proclaim that they don't go to the Walmart, and then eventually they go shop at the Walmart, but they feel shame.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
That's the Portland way.
Let's see. So here's, by the way, just in case you're wondering, you know, who is it that listens to this fine program? What is the typical Legion of News listener like? You know, what is it? If I had to draw a demographic image of the person out there who is tuning in for their daily dose of information and entertainment, it might, in fact, be this person who says, this is via the text. He says, "Hey, there's dead air," and then later he says, "Wait, ellipsis. No, the sound is turned down. I'm still stoned." There you go. Attention, advertisers. You, too, can reach this prime demographic. Please contact us right here at Legion of News.
I'll bet he's anti-Walmart.
Yeah.
Let's do science.
Let's see. Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can contact them at squireselectric.com or... Fail. God.
Wow.
Seriously, I wish that I'd been filming right now. Jeez. Paging Mr. Goldberg.
Was wrong to go the other way.
All right, here's what just happened. All right, so Dawn, for reasons unknown to me, was like wheeling her chair in circles just now. Were you just attempting to get dizzy for a thrill, or? Okay, so Dawn was spinning her chair around. Her chair spins. She hooks. Okay, now you're tearing the curtains off the wall. All right, let's all just calm down. Chair spins. Her chair catches something on the ground, a cord, a cable, part of the microphone. The microphone, the secondary mic, one of the guest mics, tips over, which takes some doing because the bass on that is pretty heavy, tips over, and then, in fact, dumped out your large McDonald's drink.
Iced tea.
Your large McDonald's iced tea, and literally tipped it over directly onto the keyboard of your laptop. And it was only, and you can tell, by the way, that lid is like a micro... That is like a micrometer from coming loose right there. Yeah. I just, for a second, I saw the entire contents of that iced tea just pouring directly into your laptop. Wow. Okay. Jesus. Let's all stop and get a hold of ourselves here.
Okay.
Do you need a moment?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You not so much with the moving. All right. Wow. All right. That was like a slow-motion horror film unfolding right in front of me. SquiresElectric.com is the website for Squires Electric, or you can go to Facebook.com/SquiresElectric to see photographs of the work that they have done. You can also see photographs of the work that is required their presence, such as, it is that photograph of the box at KXL, which is where they had all of Lars Larson's stuff wired out of. But there's also shots of homes where guys have decided just to, you know, shoot nail guns into the walls without actually checking to see where the wiring might be, to see what they might be piercing with that nail gun. And things that were once large and then melted into small versions of themselves because nobody thought to see what was compatible with what before they started, you know, just splicing things together and wiring things up seemingly at random. Don't be like this. Don't be an electrical goofus. Be a delegating gallant. And call Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. Proud sponsors of this, Science and Occasionally Inanity on the March. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Soap may not always be as clean as it seems, suggests a new study, which found that every soap dispenser at an elementary school in Ohio was contaminated with bacteria known to cause illnesses. When kids washed with soap, microbe levels on their hands soared. It's not yet clear how much of a health risk people face from microbe-laden soap, and public health experts continue to urge regular hand washings as one of the most important things that people can do to stay healthy. But the findings suggest that administrators of schools, gyms, and other public places might want to re-examine the kind of soap dispensers they use and the methods they use to clean them. A microbiologist at Gojo Industries named Carrie Zapka said this is kind of counterintuitive because soap is supposed to clean you. New study showed, she said, that soap can be a source of bacteria that can spread beyond the person washing his hands. The idea that bacteria can grow in or near soap is not new. For years, hospitals have mandated the use of dispensers with replaceable bags or cartridges that contain their own nozzle and are sealed so they can't be contaminated. But plenty of community settings contain dispensers that are repeatedly refilled with pourable liquid soap, and these kind of dispensers are rarely, if ever, cleaned.
Well, also, we should be moving beyond soap anyway. I mean, if anything, we ought to be using that instant hand sanitizer. I mean, that is a better solution, and it's faster as well, and plus it's less likely to just get goo everywhere. That's really the problem, is the goo spreading.
That was one of the interesting things, because when Patrick was in the hospital, I noticed that we've reached this point now where they do have the dispensers of the hand sanitizer everywhere.
Yeah.
Like outside every single room, in the hallways, before you go through every single door, so that, you know, people can actually just use these, and doctors and nurses constantly.
Yeah. And they actually say, I mean, at a hospital, the surgical procedure is that you are supposed to wash your hands with soap and water, soap and hot water, and then use the instant hand sanitizer. However, if time and circumstances are constraining to the point that you are not able to do all of that, you are supposed to, in other words, if you have to skip one step, you're supposed to skip the soap and go right to the hand sanitizer. So even hospitals recognize that that is a better step.
They also have, and I'm assuming this is probably the case at all of them, the Trader Joe's by me and Lake Oswego, there's hand sanitizer outside the front door at the Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Well, because you're going to be handling money. And I think if you go out and you've just been handling, if you've just been handing somebody, dollar bills or whatever, and it's because I'm not a germaphobe at all. I mean, I recognize that I've got an immune system, and so, I don't really care for the most part what the world flings at me. But as somebody, I think it is, I think actually my thing about money, and again, I'm not like anal retentive about washing my hands after handling money either, but I am conscious of the fact that money is disgusting. And I think it's largely not even because it's not because of anything like the CDC has done. It's not because of like the government. It's because of the book The Stand. And it's in the very, very beginning of The Stand when the guy stops at a diner, and there's a phrase that will stay with me my entire life. When the guy stops at a diner and he hands the waitress a dollar bill crawling with death. And that's the thing that leapt off the page at me when I was a kid, and I went, wow, I don't want one of those. And so I do try to get my hands a little scrub after I use money.
I'm never sure if I'm supposed to be using the hand sanitizer at Trader Joe's before I go into the store or when I leave the store, or both.
I would think you would just go right to both.
Okay.
I mean, that just knowing you as
but
I do.
But I don't use it at other stores, though, so then I get confused.
I'm surprised you don't carry a little thing of that in your purse. Be like Purell or something.
I don't, now that it's only you and I working. I mean, I suppose I should, because
I'm the cleanest of people. That's why.
Because we also shared the studio with Sarah
Greg.
And Greg. But when I worked at an office, and when I worked the first front desk and have to be on the phone, I carried that stuff all the time. I would wipe down the phone and things because people are disgusting.
Yeah, and the people are largely. Well, did you ever think about this? This is the thing that it wasn't a health teacher of mine, but a guy who was, he was a professor of microbiology or something. But he taught some college biology and advanced health classes, like for pre-med or whatever. And he said something that in America that we don't really think about, that, we teach kids to wash their hands after using the bathroom. And he said, as he put it, he said, if you're not able to use the bathroom correctly and you end up with like urine or whatever all over your hands, then sure, I guess that's the way to do it. He said, but really, you really ought to be washing your hand before you touch yourself, because it's like, you're risking, there's far more on your hands than on any other part of your body that you're going to be able to access. And so when you use the bathroom, all you're really doing is running the risk of taking the germs from your hands and spreading them elsewhere on yourself.
I learned a lot about this when I was in culinary school, in fact, and we had a lot of food safety stuff. And I always remember specifically the one chef who, like, we were doing some kind of cooking thing. And he's like, he puts on the rubber gloves and he's doing something. He's like, okay, I got the rubber. I'm chopping up chicken. I'm doing this. I'm like, okay, are my hands clean? And everybody goes, no. And he goes, no, yes, my hands are clean. The gloves, on the other hand, are crawling with germs.
Yes.
So if you're going to be like, it doesn't matter that I'm wearing the gloves. Now I need to get rid of these gloves and put on some and do something else. You know, and that, and also he was also very big on explaining that most people, yes, will wash their hands and dry their hands in a public restroom, and then they go and they open the door
mm-hmm.
with their bare hand, and that means anybody who hasn't washed their hands and then used that door, you just transferred their germs onto your hands.
I have never understood why bathrooms are not always made with the door opening outward. Because, you know, that way you can open it, you know, you pull it, you can touch it on the way in, but that way you can just kick it open on the way out. Or, here's the other thing that people will do, and again, I'm not like some anti-germ guy, but I know people who are, and they'll go and they'll wash their hands, and then immediately after they wash their hands, dry their hands, they then just as a backup, as like an ancillary measure, they wipe their hands on their jeans.
Oh, well, that, no.
Because that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know what we ought to have? Because, you know, there's those Dyson Airblades that I'm such a big fan of, which I guess they have at, it was a store in, it wasn't Fry's, but it was a store not unlike that. It was like a Best Buy or something in this sort of area where they had the Dyson Airblade thing, which is freaking awesome. You know what they ought to have? Is they ought to have, maybe at hospitals or something, just like a, some sort of, and I don't know how you would clean this substance itself. You would have to have something where it was constantly recycling or being filtered. But it would be like sort of a tub of, like a tub of a sort of like thick goo-like substance that you would stick your hands in, pull them out, and then it would instantly dry and give you instant gloves. It'd be like a liquid latex.
Yeah.
You could stick your hands in, pull them out, and then maybe the Dyson Airblades dry it on the way out, and then you've got like a latex rubbery covering on your hands instantly. And then you would just have to sort of keep the actual liquid latex itself heated or cleaned or something somehow,
yeah.
so it was germ-free. But the idea that you could, I need gloves, and then instantly gloves, as opposed to like having to find them and pull them on. And the idea that, like, you've got filthy hands, like, you've got one filthy hand applying a glove, you know, which that defeats the entire purpose. You know, if you've got to have an uncovered left hand to apply a glove to your right hand, then everybody's screwed.
Yeah, but then fetish people would just be covering their whole bodies in it and, you know, then dying of that gold finger thing.
Something wrong with that?
Speaking of which, according to the common belief is that men think about sex every 7 seconds. Well, a new study finds that men actually ponder sleep and food as much as they think about sex. The median number of thoughts about sex by college-age men was 18 times a day to women's 10 times a day, but men also thought about food and sleep proportionately more. In other words, there was nothing special about sexual thoughts, said study researcher Terry Fisher, a psychologist at The Ohio State University.
If I ever mention that you're possessed of large grapefruit-like breasts... What?
No, not as such.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Males thought about any of the health-related thoughts compared to females more than females, not just about sex. The men think about sex every 7 seconds axiom is an urban legend, Fisher said, but there is little reliable research on how often men and women really do have sexual thoughts.
Because how would you know? I mean, that's one of those things that I never believed, because that's like that old, you know, people only use 20% of their brain thing that everybody thinks is true. Which I think, you know, they may be able to demonstrate to some degree now, but when they started saying it like 70 years ago, you know that there was no goddamn way they were able to prove anything like that.
Well, it's like the half of all marriages end in divorce thing,
yeah.
Which is patently false,
yeah.
And yet it keeps getting repeated over and over again as if it's true. But said that there's little reliable research because most studies have just asked people to think back across their day or week and try to remember how many sex thoughts they have.
Ah, I see. They have Arbitron doing this.
Yeah, so the method doesn't provide any reliable results. Fisher and her colleagues instead asked 163 college women and 120 college men to carry around small golf stroke tally counters. Stroke. So they wouldn't be biased to think about sex. The students were told they would be asked about health-related thoughts. Next, the researchers told 60% of the students to click the counter whenever they thought about sex. Others were instructed to tally their thoughts on food and sleep. The stereotype is that men think about sex constantly and that women rarely think about it, but that's not what she and her colleagues found. There was a broad range in the number of sex thoughts, from several participants who recorded one thought a day to a male participant who recorded 388 sexual thoughts in a day.
And the other reason why this doesn't mean anything, I mean, it's... This means that the answer could be the men think about sex every 7 seconds, or it could be every seven days, or nowhere, because by definition, you're not finding out what people are actually thinking about. You're finding out what's going on in the minds of a bunch of people who are willing to go and sit and have their thoughts analyzed by professors.
Well, even the guy who had said he had 388 sexual thoughts in a day, factoring in sleep time, that's still one sexual thought every 158 seconds, not every 7 seconds, not even close. On average, the men in the study thought about sex slightly more than once each waking hour, and women about half that. However, men paid no greater attention to sex than they did food and sleep. So men think about sex, food, and sleep a lot.
Because that makes us sound much more evolved.
Well, you know.
So this is the self-selecting group of people who are willing to admit how often they think about sex to a stranger.
Well, actually, it's more likely it's a bunch of college students who are willing to do
$20?
For $20.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What is it you want to hear? I'll just tell me what's correct.
So apparently, you can now actually get True Blood. It's called HBOC-201. It is artificial blood. It delivers oxygen to your squishy organs. And unlike real blood, it can be stored for years and doesn't require matching blood types. After years of working well in clinical trials, it has now saved a life for the first time. It brought back a woman whose car wreck was so brutal it left just a liter of blood in her body, and whose religion prevented her from receiving a real blood transfusion.
Are you being horked right now? Are you being punked?
No.
What is the name of the actual substance?
HBOC-201.
The first three letters are HBO?
Yes.
Okay. How sure are you right now that you're not being made fun of by somebody?
Well, now not so sure, now that you say that.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm not the first one, though, because I got this off a legitimate news service.
I know you're
service.
A paragon of, journalistic integrity and all of it.
I believe there
Tell me about how Harry Potter's corrupting the youth, Don.
I think there could very well be artificial blood.
I'm not saying there isn't artificial blood. I'm saying that story is made up.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
That's all the science. Just
blame the iced tea. All right, there you go. There's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squireselectric. It's 503-252-1609. Don't forget, coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio today with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101 today, talking about the life, legacy, and work of the Marx Brothers. And that is coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Also, Penis Watch coming up today. And we have...
I don't think those are right.
Well, we didn't get to the Penis Watch yesterday.
No, we have a Clergy Watch and a Corpse Watch.
All right, so we have a Clergy Watch, Corpse Watch, Penis Watch. Let's see, Clergy, Corpse, Penis. All of that coming up next hour, plus Mr. Big Jim Willig and Humor Me Comedy 101. That is at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Cell phones sold out in Chicago after January 1st. Would have to be equipped with a special feature that allows parents to block children from texting while driving under a crackdown proposed Wednesday by the city council's most powerful alderman. Alderman Edward M. Burke proposed the surprise restriction at the last meeting of the old city council in an effort to stop what he calls an epidemic of texting while driving, much of it involving young drivers. In a written statement, Burke said, "This law would put parents in the driver's seat when it comes to stopping teens from texting while driving." By giving parents the option of temporarily turning off their kids' texting ability, we could potentially save many lives and many people from being injured on our roadways. Texting while driving is already illegal in Chicago and around the state, but 40% of those surveyed recently by the state highway authority said they didn't know about the ban. Burke further argued that teens are thumbing their noses at the ban to feed their addiction to texting. 28% of young people surveyed between the ages of 16 and 19 have admitted to texting while driving. If that many are admitting it, then it's probably a lot more.
I think somebody's got an addiction to hyperbole. They're thumbing their noses at the band to feed their addiction to texting.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So
this is another one of those stories where just because what you... It's not like he's saying anything that is, I guess, factually untrue. I mean, it's probably a thing that people do and they shouldn't. But, I mean, the idea that somehow it's like, it's like they're all in the junk, you know, and it's going to be an entire, you know, that we're going to be like opium era China, and suddenly our canals are going to be falling into disrepair because kids can't quit texting. Seems to that lacks the ring of truth.
Cars will just be crashing into each other right and left, willy nilly.
Seriously,
while their kids are saying OMG, thumb.
Thumbing their nose.
Okay. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich will formally throw his hat into the ring for the Republican presidential nomination by the end of next week, his spokesman told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Gingrich is slated to address Georgia Republicans at their state meeting next Friday, May 13th. By then, he'll be a candidate, Gingrich spokesman Rick Tyler told the paper.
Fantastic.
The current field of Republican presidential candidates remains largely undefined, with many voters struggling to find a candidate they're eager to support. In the latest Fox News poll, Gingrich tied for fifth with Ron Paul. Gingrich, like most Republican contenders, will not be taking part in the opening debate of the GOP primary contest, which is slated for Thursday.
Well, wait a minute. Who is taking part in the if he, like most contenders, is not taking part in the debate, then the debate's going to consist of who? Is this going to be like, is this going to be a podium and Pat Paulson? I mean, is that probably not Pat Paulson at this point? But
it's word from Fox News was that South Carolina Republican Party, that they're going to have Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, former Senator Rick Santorum, Representative Ron Paul, former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, and a restaurant executive named Herman Cain. Pawlenty is considered by most observers to be the only top-tier candidate that's going to be in the debate.
This is really just the motley-est crew of... I mean, this is really like when you... You know what these guys are? These guys are like... What are those guys that work on a movie set where they basically stand there while the guy does the light readings because they're the same height as the actual actor?
Yeah, the stand-in.
But not even like a stunt double. Just sort of a look. We need somebody to give us a sight line. You're the same height but have no other skills of any kind. Please go stand there, just as a placeholder. Thanks. They're like seat fillers at the Oscars. I mean, that's what they're like seat fillers, except for Ron Paul. Ron Paul isn't so much a. Ron Paul isn't so much a seat filler as he is that guy at the games that holds up the John 3:16 sign. He's the guy with the clown wig and the rainbow hat, like, hey, look at me. And you go, hey, oh, no, there he is. Oh, he's awesome. And then later you find out that he's insane.
Weirdly, a Fox News poll actually managed to get like 3% of the respondents to say they liked Rick Santorum,
They like Rick Santorum.
Oh, there's your fringe.
They like Rick Santorum because Rick Santorum hates gay people.
Yeah.
So that seems like that's a circle that closes pretty easily, I think.
Let's do entertainment news.
All right, let's see. Here is your entertainment news for Friday.
Rocker Bryan Adams and his personal assistant Alicia Grimaldi welcomed baby daughter Mirabella Bunny Adams last month.
Please just spell Bunny.
B-U-N-N-Y.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the first child for the 51-year-old, who is best known for the hits Heaven and Summer of 69. He's having a baby with his personal assistant.
Well, it sounds like she was doing her job. I need you to assist me with my penis.
Elizabeth Jagger, the 27-year-old daughter of Jerry Hall and Mick Jagger, has landed a cover shot on Playboy magazine. The 6-page spread features Jagger in her birthday suit and smoking a cigarette. I feel comfortable expressing myself through my body, said Jagger. I'm kind of a topless person. I'm quite European.
So she's like a store mannequin for nylons.
Yeah, with giant lips.
Yeah.
Blake Shelton, who's the coach for the TV show The Voice, apologized for a comment he tweeted regarding his favorite Shania Twain track. He wrote, any man that tries touching my behind, he's gonna be a beaten, bleeding, heaving kind of guy. Glad immediately tweeted that anti-gay statements are not what a woman wants. Shelton was quick to apologize and issued the following comments. Hey, y'all, allow me to seriously apologize for the misunderstanding with the whole rewrite on the Shanite.
Oh, sorry.
Just tapping your finger.
No, there's a...
thing here.
Sorry. No, there's a little bit of crackle in the potentiometer, so it's... all right.
Is that a real word, potentiometer?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. So, hey, y'all, allow me to seriously apologize for the misunderstanding with the whole rewrite on the Shania song last night. It honestly wasn't even meant that way. I now know that there are people out there waiting to jump at everything I say on here or anywhere. But when it comes to gay, lesbian rights or just feelings, I love everybody. Go look for a real villain and leave me out of it.
Here's the thing. It's like it somehow is even worse when these idiots apologize. And I don't know why that should be. But I guess maybe because Even if you assume that it's sincere, even if you assume that he went, well, wait a minute, I shouldn't say those things. What a fool I've been. I don't know why. I don't know why the apology bugs me. Not as much as the original thing, I guess, but the apology is still just irritating. It shouldn't be, but it is. I don't know why that is.
What would be great is if he responded and just said, hey, I don't want any strangers to touch my behind.
Or just, you know, to prove that I'm okay with it, I will be taking any and all groping for a period of 15 minutes today. Downtown, and you know, and just sort of, you know.
On the next episode of The Voice, I will be publicly sodomized just to show that I am okay with
this. Just to say that, you know, we're just gonna, you know, he's gonna be put in some sort of buttock stocks downtown. You can come by and really just, it's like throwing tomatoes, only you're not throwing them and they're not tomatoes.
Right. They're penises.
Exactly.
Tommy Lee Jones and Joseph Gordon-Levitt have signed on to director Steven Spielberg's Lincoln biopic. Daniel Day-Lewis will play the president, and Sally Field will star as Mary Todd. The movie is based on the Doris Kearns Goodwin book Team of Rivals. Jones will play Congressman Thaddeus Stevens, and Levitt will star as Lincoln's oldest son, Robert Todd Lincoln. Nathan Lane is in talks to star with Julia Roberts in an untitled Snow White movie, which features Julia Roberts as the evil queen. The Social Network's Armie Hammer has signed on for the role of the prince, with Lily Collins playing the queen's stepdaughter. Lane is up for the part of the queen's manservant.
And Armie Hammer is the Winklevoss twins, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And actress Jacqueline Bisset has signed on for a several episode arc on Rizzoli and Isles, a show that no one watches. The 66-year-old will play Maura's mother on the show. Maura's played by Sasha Alexander, which starts up its second season on Monday, July 11th.
Does Armie Hammer seem like the guy you get now that Brendan Fraser is too old to play that role?
Oh, that just makes me sad.
But it's true. You just look at the Winklevoss twins and think, oh, they wanted Brendan Fraser for this. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. My beloved Brendan Fraser is getting a little doughy looking.
I mean, he's still got, you know, his youthful charm and all, but boy, you know, he's getting a little doughy looking. And don't get me wrong, look, it's not like I'm the picture of male aesthetic perfection or anything, but you know who's just gotten all spongy and where everything inside has just come untethered is Jay Moore.
Oh yeah.
Jay Moore is right. I really do love that guy. And again, you know, he's a millionaire and I'm not. So, you know, whatever. But, boy. And it's just one of those things where I just had, I think maybe it was gradual. I guess it had to be. But I just haven't seen him in a while. And so it's not like I was looking at a photo of him every day, like the life cycle of a flower or something in science class. Yeah. I just didn't see him. And then I saw a picture of him yesterday after not looking at him for like a couple years. It's because he and Nikki Cox had a baby. And by the way, did you know he legally changed his name? His name is now, because his middle name, I think, is Aldrich.
Oh, God.
It's J. Aldrich Cox Moore.
Oh, I was going to say Moore Cox.
No, but see, it works better this way, actually, because now it's a verb. It's a J. Aldrich Cox Moore than you. And also, he's married to Nikki Cox, so I guess, what does he need to stay, you know, looking good for? Also, again, a millionaire. He's gotten all spongy.
Yeah, I was flipping channels around last night, and I saw a few minutes of, I'm not sure what it's called, Terms of Engagement or something like that, because I started watching it for a few minutes because Patrick Warburton is on it, and I love Patrick Warburton. And David Spade is on that show. And boy, he's a guy who is just like, he's trying to continue to look the same as he always has.
Yeah.
But he's starting to look like a sort of a wizened little troll, you know.
I don't think I've seen him
in a bad blonde lady wig.
I haven't seen him, I think, in anything since, is it Grown Ups?
Yeah.
And he was in character, so not quite the same thing. But I don't think I've seen him in real life. I mean, like just as just David Spade for 10 years probably.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, he looking like he was 14 years old into his 30s. Was all well and good, but once a guy gets into his 40s and 50s, it's like there's this point of like, you can't still carry off, you know, the blonde, moppy surfer boy hairdo and the same like clothing styles. It's time to actually sort of, you know, maybe ease into adulthood, I think.
There's that great, I don't know if you've gotten to this point, there's this great sequence in The Wire where McNulty and Bunk are sitting in a car and they're talking about the, and I think McNulty has just shown up for work in the same, like, stained shirt 3 days in a row. And Bunk says, you know, Jimmy, why don't you get yourself together with your clothing or whatever? And McNulty says, You know, Bunk, they got a name for guys who know that. Oh, it's because Bunk identifies the designer of a guy's jacket.
Yes, I
and
have.
And McNulty
have
says
seen that.
There's a name for guys who can identify the designer's jacket. He goes, yeah, they're called grown-ups.
Yeah.
So it's like that's. But you do pass an event horizon where you cannot dress like you are a frat guy anymore. And it's here's the thing. Here's the one look that works the worst in terms of aging. The one look that ages more poorly than anything else, and it's what you just said. It is the weird, thatchy, kind of bleached, sort of spiky blonde hair. That's the single thing that doesn't work. You know who's got that?
Bryan Adams.
It's not just, but see, but at least, like, with Bryan Adams, at least I cut him mental slack because he's a rock star, and they have a weird, like, they're just sort of, like, off on their own cloud where it's, like,
know,
crap that just looks insane.
Rod Stewart just looks ridiculous. Though.
Well, I mean, it's like you look at Steven Tyler. Look, I do not seriously believe that Steven Tyler has a shoulder-length mane of blonde hair. He's 63.
Well, it's not blonde. It's just brown.
It was blonde the last time I saw it. I saw him photographed. But see, again, I just sort of, and I don't have any problem with this, but I assume that those are just extensions anyway, that it's all just, that it's not even so much a transplant, it's just like a full-on weave, that he just has the rug. But the last time I saw him, he had hair, he had like Sarah Dillon hair, where it was like blonde and brunette sort of like in streaks or whatever. But anyway, I mean, I guess I cut anybody who's a rock star slack because they look ridiculous anyway. I mean, in a sort of, you know, in a sort of great way sometimes. But they, you know, but you know who has the look of the spiky the Rod Stewart is Ty Pennington.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and that guy's presumably a carpenter. And I mean, it just doesn't. And plus, here's the thing. I know ladies who are like that Ty Pennington. Boy, what a dreamboat.
No.
Look at something
no.
other than his hair. Take a good long look at Ty Pennington's face the next time he's on television.
No, he's creepy.
He has aged badly. That guy looks to be about 85 years old. I mean, that he's got like hair that he stole from somebody young.
Also, that Guy Fieri guy who, with his bleach, his platinum,
well,
bleached,
he's like
blonde,
a,
spiky, crazy hair.
Well, because what is he? He's just a fat Ty Pennington. I mean, that's all that guy is. Seriously, I mean, just in terms of appearance, Guy Fieri's a fat Ty Pennington, fat and short. It's like you took Ty Pennington and smashed him down into an Oompa Loompa shape.
Oh God!
Now he's never going to come on the show.
Oh, and by the way, Jay Moore and Nikki Cox did have their baby. A son named Meredith Daniel Moore.
Excellent.
So the couple have been married since 2006, and they met when he guest starred on her show Las Vegas.
I'm a big Jay Moore fan. I am a huge fan of that guy.
I'm also a big Nikki Cox fan. She's one of those gals who, like, you know, did the sexy thing and obviously had the sexy starlet thing going on, but always seemed really a lot more interesting and had a lot more on the ball than many of her oeuvre.
Well, and then just didn't stick with that forever and ever and ever. I mean, she didn't, you know, when that played itself out, she kind of moved on. So
she was on Norm MacDonald's show, I believe, his sitcom, and she's funny. She really
is that just the Norm MacDonald show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's funny. She was legitimately, well, she's like Christina Applegate in that way, you know. I mean, they were, which is an unfair comparison because she always got that comparison anyway. But I mean, I think more talented and funnier than sometimes than the material she was given. So we got like 45 seconds here.
Okay, how you doing?
What can we do in 45 seconds? You know what I'm gonna isolate? I'm gonna isolate someday the sound of John Mahoney from Say Anything. Where she's like, I've seen the future, and all I can say is go back. And then there's that, you know, like, ha! From the back of the... And I'm just going to use that whenever there's a terrible pun in one of the news stories.
Okay, that would work.
Okay. Yeah. 15 seconds.
Yeah. It's Friday, so I'd like to wish... Friday.
Okay.
And I'd like to wish all of our listeners a happy weekend.
Also, happy birthday to Kristen Bowie, I believe.
Oh, really? Happy birthday, Kristen Bowie.
I believe
Bowie.
That today is Kristen... Let me check.
If it's not Kristen Bowie's birthday... Happy birthday, Christian Bowie.
Hold on. Bye. Let me double check. Wait. No, Christian Bowie's birthday is next week. No, I'm sorry. That's my apologies.
Well,
but in advance of her birthday, we are wishing it to her now.
Okay.
So, all right. There you go. And on that incorrect note, we'll end this episode of Legion of News here from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious golden southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Ackle, chief of staff Cheryl Kanekoa. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, this program is available later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device if you like. That's mobile.cascadia.com. Rick Emerson Show.fm. The Rick Emerson Show begins next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Until then, we thank you for listening. Have a safe weekend. We will see you Monday. Good day to you, sir. I said good day!